Thank you so much. So I wasn't kidding when I was telling you guys when I came up here that our lovely worship leader Holly was just preaching the word. We've been dealing with and talking with this concept of our sin nature, and we're dealing with this mindset that we've had, which is not that repentance is bad, not that repentance is not part of our life, not that repentance is something that we should do when we encounter it, but this adaptation of, well, I live a lifestyle of repentance means that I just stay next to my body and my corpse that's laying here that I've cast off when I got saved, and I'm just going to stay here and just keep repenting and repenting and repenting, even though this is the reason why I'm still having to go through this process. Right? We accepted Christ, and then we're supposed to move on. And yet, so many believers have adapted that mentality because, after all, what is repentance? Right? We talk about it. It's agreeing with God that there's something that I've done wrong. It's doing a 180-degree turn away from it. And then we have to do what? Walk away from it. Right? But that second, that last step is the part that just people stop doing for whatever reason. We've just stopped doing it. And so the reason why we continue on in this process is because we have gotten into a really bad habit, right? So what is our responsibility, right? We accepted Jesus into our heart. We get this new life, and now we're supposed to live it, right? Live it in what? Righteousness, right? My righteousness? His righteousness, okay? Right? We don't live according to our old selves. We don't live according to that, the desires of the old self, right? But again, as I have addressed already, where we're at is we see ourselves in this position, right? And then the issue is we're just not walking out. So as I told you guys last week, we're going to start right here at that very point. How do we get away from this rotting corpse of my old self? All of its habits, all of its well wishes that it promises but never delivers on, all of the hopes that it carried with it that makes you go back to the filth and the desire of your old life because they're empty promises, right? How many people still look and go back thinking there's going to be some form of satisfaction? I'm going to get somewhere. I'm going to make a difference. It's going to change this time. It's going to be different. I know it. And you only end up disappointed and right here. It's an issue. So we have to do something different. And so what we're going to learn today is how to walk, but we're going to learn it in some stages. I know. It seems like it's been beaten to death because, again, like I said, she was literally up here preaching it. Steps in walking are very prominent. We all know how to walk. We all walked in the door, correct? Right? Walking is not something that is uncommon to us. We know how to walk, but we don't know how to walk in the spirit. Truthfully, we know how to walk in the world. We know how to walk in the physical, but we don't know how to walk in the spirit. And the issue is that we have something that is unnatural to us, in us. Remember I said this last week, right? We've been given this new life and we're so used to being a slave. We don't know how to actually walk in the freedom that we have now in Christ because we've just been broken into this mentality of what it means to be a slave. Even though you're technically a slave to Christ, but now you have to change your way of thinking. It's now I can actually go do X, Y, and Z. Remember, I kind of used the illustration of if you were a slave, like back, you know, in the old days of slavery, and they came and just said, okay, now you're free, you wouldn't know what to do. Go do what? I mean, everything was given to you. Everything was taken care of. You were provided for. You had a living area. You had all this stuff. Now you have none of that. Now you have to go do stuff. I don't know what to do. You have to go earn a living. You have to go earn money. How? You have to go buy food at a grocery store. How? I don't know. You never even had money in your hand before. You don't know what to do with it. Right? It's a new world. It's a whole new world that you have to go and venture into. And sometimes that world can be scary. Do we agree? Okay? It can be. So, I'm here to help. So we're going to start off in Ephesians, and we're going to do some jumping around, but we're going to start right off in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. And this is going to be the major aspect of this entire message. So I don't want you to lose your footing. I don't want you to drown in the rest of it, but it's going to be very clear by the end. So I hope that you will carry through this whole thing. Is everybody there? Yes? I know it's right there, but okay. So I'm going to pray. We're going to get right into the word. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you continue to train us, lead us, show us everything, God, that you have built, established, and created in us through your son, Jesus, that in your word, God, is all provision. It is everything we need to learn to know how to be like him, to be who you have designed us to be from the very beginning, God. So we thank you, God, for your word. We ask you to continue to prepare our hearts to receive that which you have given to us today, Lord, and that, Lord, we would grow it, multiply it, and continue to produce fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. It's not a whole lot there, but there is. Let's start off with the thing that I talked about last week, which was about our identity, right? Our identity is now in whom? Christ, right? We accept Jesus. We now have him as the model of who we are supposed to be like. And so when we see the word imitator, how many people like being imitated? It's usually done in like a not nice way, right? Like somebody's mocking you, like, well, I sound nothing like that, sir. Thank you very much. And I don't put my hands on my hips, right? We get mocked and we think imitation is an insult. Or we might find it the other worse, right? Imitation is the best form of flattery, right? But imitation here is not really what you think it means. Imitation is copy, right? We're to be a copy. No different than who? God himself. Jesus in the flesh, right? We are to be him. That is who we were designed to be from the garden, right? We were created in whose image? His image, right? So there lies in the whole point. If we know that we are already created to be him, like him, not him exactly, but to be versions of him, and we now have his son in us, the completion of that, right? Because now we are no longer head into sin. We are not tied to this anymore. We now have the ability to walk in the freedom as we were originally created in the spirit, right? We have all of this in us. Now, we should have no excuse. Right? That's what that really means. It's what it really means. However, just because one has a new identity, they cannot simply say they are him. What does that mean? How does one prove that they are indeed that what they say they are? By what? By their fruit. Okay, I'm new here. I don't know what that means. Do I just have to bring a basket of fruit? Does that do the trick? By what? By their good works. That's even better. You actually have to do something. That's what this really means. See, if you're going to be a copy of him, did he just sit there as a rock and do nothing? Was Jesus a rock? He is our rock, but he's not a rock, right? He didn't just sit there like a lump on the ground and do absolutely nothing. So if I'm going to imitate him, then I should be expected to do what? I should be doing the same things. By the way, I do believe there's a scripture somewhere in here, I don't know, in a, you know, book in there somewhere that says that, you will do these same things and even greater things, right? That you will do these things that I have done, that he has demonstrated for us for a reason. Why did he demonstrate these things for us? So that we could be an imitator, right? So if we see this, this is already confirming and telling us where we are missing our first step. If we're going to walk in love, right, we are going to be responsible to actually put an active approach to it. Now, we already know, we've had this message about 1,000 times over, love is not just a word we just say to one another, it is an action, right? You have to actually show love, right? We see and walk in love. It's the very first thing. What does that mean? Because I can't tell you how many times we've heard it. You might have heard it from me. You might have heard it from other people. You may have heard it from other churches, messages, other wheres. They'll always say, oh, you need to just walk in love. Well, that's great. How? Anybody ever want to know the answer to that question? You know? Oh, it's giving you a little note? Whoa. You're an amplified? Don't go there. Don't go there. I'll talk to you later about that. I already know where you're at. Because I'm going to go to amplified as well, but I'm going to go to a different book because I understand what that says. I've been there. So, I'm going to pull, it's going to be behind me. It's a little different. But 1 John 4, verses 15 through 17. And we're going to start, and this is an amplified. Again, this version is a little different than mine. Whoever confesses and acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. All right. How many people have made that arrangement? Made that agreement. We've made that accepted agreement. We accepted Jesus. We now understand that in that exchange, I now have a new relationship. There is now a relationship where I have Jesus in me. And because Jesus is in me, I am in God, and God is in me, right? We understand. We have come to know by personal observation and experience and have believed with deep, consistent faith the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. In this union and fellowship with him, love is completed and perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him because as he is, so are we in this world. Let me ask you first a question. Is the word untruthful? Does the word lie? No, it does not. So if this is truth, you cannot disagree with it, right? Okay, good. We all come there. So we start our walk at the very beginning with our confession of faith. We already rose our hands. We all agreed that's where we are, right? We've been given a new identity. The very next step we have is to believe, okay? And we have believed with deep and consistent faith the love which God has for us. You have to believe in the love God has for you. I'm going to say it again. You have to believe in the love that God has for you. You cannot make another step if you do not believe that God loves you. You cannot. You cannot claim, though I know God loves me, but your foot didn't move. Because that means you actually don't believe it. You're not putting your faith in line with your action and the words that say, oh, I love God. I trust him. Do you? Why didn't you move? Well, I don't know. Because you actually don't. You can say it all day long. A lot of people say, oh, I love God. Oh, I know God loves me. Oh, I know God loves me. Okay. Why are you in the same place you've been at for 15 years? Why have you not grown? Why have you not changed? Is it because there's a sin problem? Yes. You know what the sin problem is? You don't trust him. And you continue to say you love God, but you're actually lying because you don't. Because you're not moving out in the faith and belief that God has provided through his love to get you to the next place. How do we know that God loves us? Well, it tells us. personal observation and experience. Do you look around and see the things that God is doing to show you how much he loves you? Because if you're looking for God to show you his love, and this is how you're looking, by the way, my hands are over my eyes. Maybe you do this every once in a while. Peek through, you know. Oh, there you are. Now, figuratively, I put my hand over my eyes to express that my eyes are closed or blinded, right? But in reality, we use 1,001 other things to distract us, to take our eyes off of him. We find our interest and our solace in things that are more interesting or more occupied than God himself. It's technically the same thing. If you're looking to observe to see how God loves you, where should you be looking? At him? Okay, some people have a hard time doing that. I'll be honest, especially when things aren't going so great, looking up to the sky, you tend to put your fist up there. You're not looking for him. You might be looking for him to just go and say, look, I'm ready to go to blows with you, man. What's going on? Show your face so I can just give you one. You're really not looking for him. Where can you really find God? You can see him in the world. You can see him in the things that he's doing. You can see him in his word, right? But if you're really not looking for him, you won't find him. You just won't. So let's start with that. Stop lying to yourself and saying you really are interested in looking for the things of God and looking for his love and looking for it in all the right places. No, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And you're looking to find God come to those wrong places to show you that he loves you. That's not where he's going to be. You're not going to find it. Also, experience. Do you know that every day you are raised up out of your bed with breath in your lungs is because God gave it to you? You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised safe travel from here to your home. You are not promised anything. This world wants to chew you up and spit you out and bury you 6 feet under the ground. But because God so cares and loves for you and has a plan and a purpose for your life, whether or not we've agreed with it or not, he is still keeping you above ground and active for a reason. Every experience that we have, that we understand that God's hand is in it, if we can see that as the love of God in my life, guess what I start to become? I start to become more engaged and beneficial to knowing God's love is for me. I love the fact that I wake up with breath in my lungs every morning. I don't want to know what it feels like not to be able to breathe. I don't want to know that. I thank God. I know his love for me is there because he is still continuing to keep me safe, healthy, active, well. That's just one area. I still have a job. I'm employed. I have money. Thank you, God. Your love. Your love. It's all his love on us. That's all from him. It isn't because of what I have done. It is because he is doing something with around me. Again, we talked about, right? He is not beholden to the world. The world is beholden to him. Everything is in his hands. Everything is ordained by him. Everything is set up by his time and schedule. I am not the one who has to answer to the controllers of the world. God gets to move all the pieces around for me. If you see it that way, or you see it another way, which is absent of God's love, and I have to just go along with whatever the world beats me up with every day. And I have to suffer under that anguish. That's how you have two different types of people. You have the people that are really glad to be here, and the people that are like, please, Lord, take me out. I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't want to be here anymore. That is a true telltale sign that you need more of the love of God and you need to start seeing more of how God's love is poured out upon you. You're missing something. You're walking away from his love. If you're not glad that you are still here and you have a purpose. So this goes into some things, right? Do you actually believe that he loves you? This is tested continuously, right? We see that. God, starting, where is this at? 16, right? And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides continually in him. Does that mean there's an interruption or a cessation of time where he doesn't love us? Did he break? Did he take a coffee break? Be back in 15 minutes? Come back later? Shop's closed? Does God have a little sign with a little clock on it? Yeah. Right? No. He never stops. He can't. It's impossible for him because he is love. It is absolutely impossible. He would have to stop existing in order to stop loving. God does not stop existing. I'll give you that one. There's your clue for the day. Okay? This is why we have to have a deep and consistent faith in order to continue to keep up with his consistency in the amount of love that he pours out. It's not because of him, it's because of me. How can we confirm God's love? Because this is a problem too, right? Maybe you see it. Maybe you do experience it from time to time. But guess what the enemy loves to do? He loves to take credit for it all. He loves to go, oh, well, that's because I've been doing this over here. See? This is all because of me. God doesn't love you. I care. Now, he comes in many different forms, right? The devil doesn't look like the devil. He ain't got the horns on and the tail. He comes in the form of some nice woman or nice guy. He comes in the form of maybe a new job. Maybe he comes in the form of a new device, new gadgety thing, whatever. Oh man, I feel great. This is awesome. This is the best I've had in, this is the best life I've lived in years. I'm feeling wonderful. All these good things are coming upon me. Man. Life is good. Who's getting the credit? Did you go and find out if this was what God wanted? Or are you just happy to be happy for once in your life? Don't talk to this one. She'll tell you happiness is a lie. I agree. Because the happiness that we're supposed to feel from God is actually called J-O-Y, not happiness. Joy is fulfilled. Happiness is fleeting. So when you are looking for happiness, you're not looking for God. You're looking for temporary gratification. You're looking for something that is just for the right here and the right now. If we're not looking in here to find out what he is saying is going to provide us with joy and his love, we won't even see it when it comes, let alone confirm what we already have. So sometimes I see this happening. We'll give something that brings us joy away for something that will make us happy. And instead of looking and seeking what God says is, this is my best for you. We give God's best away for something that the enemy has just sat there and laid on the floor for you to fondle and come back here to your corpse. Do we see how this is working? See why walking is so important? To get the next step is not something that we can just trip over and fall flat on our faces. It's crucial. If we're not spending time with him, are we ever going to know? Think about it. How many people have relationships, been in relationships long term? All of us, right? Okay. Be 100% honest with yourself right here, right now. Do you think that that other person would want to be around you if you never spent any time with them? Would you want to be with them if they never spent any time with you? Why do we think God is going to be the same way? Do we think God is just sitting there going, oh, they're just kids. I understand. It's okay. I'm a big God after all. I have many children. It's okay that these ones just ignore me. Or do you think his heart breaks every single time one of us, just one, decides to ignore him for even just a day? I'm going to tell you, it breaks. Because he is love. And his love is immense for each and every one of us. So much that I could say he has done one thing that nobody else has ever done to demonstrate his love. He sent his only son, whom he loved from the beginning, before the world was even formed, to die so that you could be with him. How deep is that love? Yet, what do we do? What do we do? We don't spend time with him. How do we not spend time with him? Well, I don't know. Do we spend time in his word to get to know him, to hear his voice, to see what he's saying? Do we spend time with him in worship? Letting him know how much we truly love him, how much we truly appreciate all the things that he does for us, right? In prayer, just communing with him, sharing about all the things that we see, wanting to see him do, so that we can talk and brag about him. The reality is that we have become very, very bad at this aspect because we say, well, I'm doing X or I'm doing Y and I'm doing Z. Well, you only come here on Sunday to read the word once for about 15 to 20 minutes and you worship for about 30. The rest of the week you have ignored him. Stop lying about your commitment to God and wondering why he doesn't show his love to you all the time. If you're lying about your commitment, you're actually going to God saying, well, I do all these things and I love you, God, and I care. I do. I really do. He's looking at you going, where? I see you on Sunday and that's it. And I'm not judging anybody here. It's not a judgment. But let's be honest with ourselves, because if we're not going to be honest and real with ourselves, we're going to continue to find ourselves stuck right here and never, ever, ever get away from this life. We're never going to move. It's bad news bears. As we invest in our relationship with God, we gain his confidence, we gain his boldness, right? That's what his word just told us. Confidence and boldness to do what? To preach? To talk about God? Well, that's true. That comes with it. But how about just something simpler? Confidence and boldness and assurance that God actually is going to continue to be faithful to what he has said. That God actually does love me and God actually does care about my well-being and God actually wants the best for me and God actually is going to do these awesome and great and wonderful things, not just for me, but through me. How great and wonderfully and fearfully made I am. This is the imitation process. As we chase after him and spend time with him, we become that which we behold. If we're not paying attention to him, how can we claim that we're turning into him? We're becoming more like Christ. Do you even know what he looks like? That's an honest answer. If your imitation of Jesus is the Passion of the Christ version of Jesus, and that's who you think he looks like, I'm going to break it down for you. He's Middle Eastern. I'm not saying go get a tan. Yes, he's definitely going to be Middle Eastern. He's Jewish. He's definitely not white, okay? He is Jewish. Newsflash for Ryan today. He's getting the truth today, Jim. This is good stuff. But here's the thing. I'm not saying you need to go ahead and don the flesh of Christ. What you need to do is don the spirit of Christ. And so what does that look like? Do you know what his spirit looks like? Stop trying to get caught up on the visuals and start getting caught up in the spiritual realm that God has called us to. Because that's where the trueness and the fullness of all that he has for us is there. Now, here's where this is going to catch everybody. Back to Ephesians 5, right? You got me there, brother? 3 through 7, and I know this is the snare. That's why I'm including it, because I just want to throw the snare back out there to see if you trip on it. This is me being me. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let none of it even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator or unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. How many people read that and go, oh, well, there's just a laundry list of things that I need to stop doing? Do you read it that way? It helps. Everybody does. That's why I said it's a snare. It's a snare. It catches you. Is that what he said, though? That's not what he said. We see lists in scripture and start making them checkoffs. Stop it. It is not a checklist. You cannot make God into a checklist. He doesn't work that way. If that was the way it would have been, everybody who's in religion would be doing really good right now. Because religion is only a bunch of checklists. Here's how you get to God. Check this box, 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 check this box. Now it's the next day. Uncheck all your boxes. Check this box, check this box, check this box, check this box. Rinse and repeat. Religion. We're not religious here. So, it's not a checklist. What is it? It's actually a revealing of the associations that are to, guess who? The old guy. Right? These are the things that he's associated with. If you see them in you, that should be a heads up that you have not created enough distance from you and him. It's not telling you, don't do X, don't do Y, don't do Z. It's actually telling you, hey, these are monikers of things that this guy used to play around with all the time. He's not welcome in the kingdom. That's why I sent my son to die, so that you could get rid of that guy, because if you stayed with that guy, do you have access to the kingdom? Can you and your old man self, not knowing Jesus, come to heaven? And no, right? Scripture says that there's only one way into kingdom of heaven, and that is through Jesus, right? So we only have one access, one way. That's through Jesus. So Jesus came, he said, okay, you get rid of that old dude, all right, and all his disgusting habits, and you take on my flesh, and you walk out in the newness of me, right? Okay? Walk out in the newness of me. Love that. These are all the things that this guy did. All this is telling you is, hey, by the way, in case you didn't pay attention to the first part, here's how you can tell you're not doing so great. That's all it is. It's just a, hey, by the way, heads up. Pay attention. And if these associations are prevalent, then guess what that means? Who are we imitating? Are we imitating God? If fornication, uncleanliness, coarse jesting, idolatry are present in my current life and I'm demonstrating them outwardly, who am I imitating? I'm imitating the old dude. I'm not imitating Christ. So we go back to the beginning of Ephesians and go, oh well, I need to do something here. Now that's actual repentance, right? But instead of just staying here, because if I'm still looking at the dead guy and I'm beholden to him, who am I going to keep imitating? That's right. I'm not going to change my eyes and my fixation to him unless I start seeing him where I need to be looking for him. I hope you guys are getting the picture here. I'm going to clear it up for you real simply. Here's how it goes. If you're waiting for God to do something to take your eyes off of the old corpse, he already did it. Stop looking at the corpse. Look at him. You are the only reason why you're stuck there. It isn't because God is not doing something. God is doing tons of things. You're just missing them all. That goes back to a word that was already brought out earlier today. You're not looking for him. You're looking at what's right in front of you. And what's right in front of you is the dead guy. How do we get there? Well, first thing is let's put our backs to him. That's a start. Can't see what you're not looking at, right? Do you have eyes in the back of your head? Nope. I don't either. Moms do. They might have to turn sideways. Get that joke? Hey, God. Good. So you turn your back to him and start walking away. Now, this is really what? What am I demonstrating? Actual repentance, right? But this repentance here is the repentance that you made when you came to Christ. This is the original repentance. You can't keep going back and repenting for the thing you already repented for, right? The dead man's dead. I'm walking out in the newness of Christ. This is the area where we get into this conundrum where we're stuck in the mud and we don't move. If we're walking in love and we're imitating Jesus, to be honest, we just don't have room for the old guy. Right? It's a one-way relationship. You don't pick him up and carry him with you. You can't. Right? Can you take him with you? Is he pocket size? Nope. Okay? So what needs to happen in us is we actually have to build up some kind of integrity in ourselves. We have to come to this Jesus moment, right? You ever, the come to Jesus moment, right? But you gotta come to this come to Jesus moment where you go, I'm actually literally done with this guy. I am. I've made a commitment. I made a commitment to him, not to him anymore. And I'm actually gonna go on that commitment. I'm actually gonna follow through for once in my life. And I'm gonna step away from it. Is it tough? Well, of course it is. Go back to my original illustration. Yeah, because you know that all so well. You were a slave. You were held in. You were taken care of, supposedly. Things were okay and all hunky-dory. It was all good and well wishes and all that wonderful promises that it can never fulfill because it doesn't have the capacity or ability to do so. Yes, it's a wonderful world that you lived in. Not. But you don't really know how to live out this one yet. But it doesn't require much to do it. It just requires you to keep your eyes on the prize and continue to move towards the prize. That's all it requires of us. By doing so, we actually continue to perpetuate the motion of His love moving and continually moving in our lives every single day. We don't live according to that anymore. We live according to Him. So what happens? How does this come around? Well, here's my summation. I believe we get punched in the mouth by the devil and we return back to this for solace. Like it's going to make us feel better. Anybody get punched in the mouth recently? Have a hardship, hard time, something come up, not the greatest feeling in the world. Things like you don't want to deal with, like somebody in your house getting COVID. And then you have to go do a whole bunch of stuff that you don't really have time or patience for. No, I'm not talking about you. But the whole reason he did that, the whole reason he came up and just sucker punched you, was to do what? To get you to come back. Exactly. He took your eyes off of him to get you to return back to the cesspool that you had. It's all part of his plan. That's what he's about. He just is a pain in the rear end. Get used to it. Just don't take your eyes off the prize. If you get sucker punched, who should you run to? Run to God. Run to Christ. And I'm sorry, this might ruffle a few manly feathers in the room. I don't care. Go tell Daddy. Go tell Daddy that he punched me in the face. Yeah, go ahead. Do it. It's fine. You want to know why? Because he's going to go set him straight. Because he knows how to. He'd rather you come to him going, hey, he punched me in the face. You're not a whiner. If you sound like that, maybe you are a little bit. But it's okay. I want you to know that that is the okay thing to do. Stop putting on your machoism and think you got to go punch him back. Because that's actually not what you need to do. Because that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to chase him down. He wants you to follow him back to this pile of garbage to get into a boxing match that's going to keep you busy with him for another 3 years while you haven't paid attention to God for that long time. And then you wonder where you got and how you got here. Oh, I don't know. One day I just had a car issue. The next day I haven't been in church for 3 years. How'd that happen? Did you go to God? Well, no, I didn't. Why not? Well, he really got me angry. Okay. What happened to, it's okay to be angry, but just don't do what in your anger? Don't sin. Oh, you just went for a sin fest. Whoops. John 17. And this is the last scripture for today. And this is Jesus. And he's praying specifically for all believers. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and I have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. I know it's a lot, but it has a lot to do with everything that he is saying to us today. How many people can say they don't really feel the love of God? It's okay. Truthfully, it really is. The reason that might feel that way is because you have basically put God into a box. You've made God's love circumstantial. I'm here to tell you and correct the record. God's love is not circumstantial. God's love is eternal. It is never ending. It is consistent. It is constant. If you're waiting for something to change on God's end, it's not, because his love is eternal, it is consistent, it is unwavering and unchanging. So it's not going to change on his end. So who needs to change? We do. We do. And this is important because some people might say, well, I really don't see it. I really don't feel it. I don't understand where to find it. It's very hard sometimes. Okay. Then here, count this then, the word of God itself. The same love that he has for his son, which preceded the foundation of the entire world before he created land, sea, air, birds, deer, creatures, grass, all that, and yourself, he loved you with the same love that he loved his son. That's how you can know how much he loves you. That everything that he has done is for who? Who's it for? It's for you. Internally. Stop. Don't include the rest of these people. No offense, but he did it for you. He did it for you. It's about you too. It isn't just us. Yes, us as a whole, us as a community, us as everybody. Yeah, that's great. But it's really easy in the us category to get in the back of the line. And kind of hide in the back. Maybe hide behind this over here. It's okay. Well, I'm in the us. It's fine. You antisocial people. No. It's you. You, him, world. Walking away from our old nature is where we can experience the fullness of what God gives to all his children. And walking in love is truly the very first step. It really is. Because it corrects this identity issue. Love covers a multitude of sins, right? Perfect love casts out fear. We can't go forward if we're trapped in fear and we're worried about our sin. That's why love is so important. That's why love is so powerful, right? And that's why we have to embrace the things that God is doing and saying for us so that we can make this very first step. But too many of us get into this mind thought. I can mentally get over this stuff. I can think my way ahead. I can figure it out. I'll figure out the next steps. I'll figure this all out. You can't figure this step out. You actually have to just walk it out in faith. You can't figure it out. You can't mentally grasp it. You can't build it. You can't construct it. You can't create a bridge around it. You can't do anything. You actually just have to believe in the love that God has for you enough to go, I trust you, God. I do. I just trust you. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I don't know what's next up for me. But I know that if I'm in your hands, I'm in the best hands I could ever be in. If we continue walking in love and we fix this identity issue and we're imitating his son, we'll start to see how love covers. We'll start to not even see him anymore. Because he's going to get like a blanket of snow over him. And the next time you turn around and you think to yourself, this weird urge. And you look back, guess what you're not going to find? Like that weird urge to pick up a cigarette and smoke again. And it's just him trying to get your attention. But if you gained yourself some distance, right? If you gained yourself some more distance and more distance, I want to give you guys a challenge, a different challenge. How many people know how to get lost? Like, no, seriously. You know how to get lost? Like, turn the GPS off, right? Go get lost. Try to find a marker. Try to find something that's familiar. Try to find something that reminds you of where you might be going next. It's not so easy, is it? When you're lost, you're lost. I'm not saying get lost in the sense of like, get out of here. I don't want you to do that. I want to stay, right? But think about it. If you start making progress and you're starting to walk further and further and further and further away from that rotting corpse behind you, the further you go, the more left turns and right turns that you go on your journey with God, do you think you're going to be able to find your way back? Or do you think you're going to get lost in the love of Christ? You're going to get lost in his love and his kindness and his goodness, that the times that that urge might even come back, just a little sensation, but like, man, it's weird. I just walked in this place and it just smelled like something familiar. Nah, I don't know. Moving on. Because you're not going to be able to find your way back. That's really what he's looking for all of us to be in. That's the journey he wants to take us on. It is separation from this. It's a separation. We should all be moving in this direction. Because after all, that's what we accepted when we took on the agreement, right? You've heard it from that man back there. You make this commitment, it's going to cost you everything that you have and everything that you are, right? I think everybody said, yeah, okay, fine, that's great. Sign me up. I ain't doing that. I ain't paying that ticket. You don't get to choose whether or not you're paying that ticket. The ticket's been paid for. The reality of it is did you really accept him as Lord and Savior of your life? And are you really committed to doing what he's called you to do? And in that commitment, we actually trust him and walk out. Amen? And we're not done. I truly understand. I truly do understand that it's going to take time. But the next step we're going to take is going to examine the relationship. Because, yeah, maybe we have a hard time committing to actually trusting in God and love and knowing him and learning about him and stop lying about the time that we're investing and stop lying about all the stuff that we're saying we're doing and continuing to commit to our relationship with Christ and actually do those things and see the difference it makes. Yeah, that's on us, right? But at the same time, what about those individuals who are like, okay, well, I got all that part figured out. but you have a real cruddy relationship with God. How's that working out for you? Tune in next week. Same bat channel. Amen? Amen? So, Father, I thank you. And Lord, I know that this is not a journey that we understand completely or even that we might have it all figured out, God. But I am grateful and thankful that in your goodness, in all your wisdom and all your knowledge, God, you sought how to show us every single step we need to take to fulfill the wonderful and great plan that you had when you sent your son on the cross to die. That you knew every single thing that would have to unfold and unravel, that you had it all planned and ordered, and that in that, God, you are just calling us to fulfill those commitments that we made when we accepted your son as Lord and Savior of our lives. So we submit to your word, God. We see where you are working. We see the areas that we have dropped the ball or not been honest with you, God. And for that, Lord, we lay it here today and repent of it, Father. And we ask, Lord, that you, God, would help us to commit once and for all to chasing after you, to going exactly where you want us to go, step by step, Father, so that we are walking in your perfect love. Continue to show us, continue to guide us and lead us, God, as we submit to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.